Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Psalms. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them had yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Many of us have heard some of the parts of this psalm. It is so beautiful. It is well known. Some of the hymns we just sang take advantage of some of those thoughts, and it's in many of the hymns that we sing. The Psalms, or as the Psalter, as it is often called, is a collection of 150 prayers and songs in our Bible. They were composed all throughout Israel's history. The word psalm is derived from the Greek term meaning song. They are the songs in the Bible. David is given a lot of credit for a lot of them. There's some debate on whether he wrote all of them or some of them. Some of them actually have musical notations at the beginning of them and tell you what instruments to use. So it's obvious that they were used in worship. The purpose of the Psalms is simply the praise of God. But there are all different kinds, for they are the experiences of people. There are prayers for help. There are lamentations, songs of thanksgiving for everything that God has done. Hymns of praise about God's glorious and beautiful creation. There are royal psalms that mention certain kings, and then there are liturgies for entering the sanctuary and for coronations. The formation of the Psalter took many, many, many years. It was a very long and complex process. And we don't know that much about them, but we do know that they sing out of the experiences of the people of Israel. Psalm 139 is labeled the inescapable God. It is written to the leader, meaning that it was written to the temple musicians and that it should be sung with stringed instruments. It is a song, a beautiful song, a song sung to God about God's inescapable presence always. But when I think of God's inescapable presence, I think that might be both good news and not so good news. I don't want to say bad, but good news and maybe a little bit of bad news. Everything about the psalmist, even the innermost thoughts, are known to God. There is nowhere that you can hide from God or escape the all-knowing presence of God. And I wonder then, how does God know us? The good news is we're understood by the power behind the whole universe. The bad news is we're known by the power behind the whole universe. To be known on such an intimate level, to be so fully known, to be fully open and vulnerable, could be a little scary, couldn't it? But the psalmist seems to celebrate even that vulnerability. For the psalmist is not far away from God at any moment. You know, the Greek understanding of God was that God was non-changing perfection. But that's not true in the Jewish tradition. The Jewish vision of God is that God is intimately involved and profoundly concerned about every creature. God is not somewhere else. God is present. God is both at the far reaches of the universe and in the most secret depths of our heart. God is our constant companion who cannot be escaped or fooled or ignored. You hem me in from behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. But when I read the psalmist, I wonder, what is he experiencing? And he doesn't seem to be experiencing fear, but trust. Not guilt, but praise. Not judgment, but grace by this God who knows so well. The psalmist celebrates being known to God even before time. God is the weaver who fearfully and wonderfully made the psalmist in the womb. It's a statement of faith about a very personal relationship with God. We could, I think, of course, have a 4-week study about the theology of this psalm. After all, that's what we do here. We take something, we chew on it and chew on it, and we don't let anything get by us. We were all knit together in our mother's wombs as questioners of faith. And that's a good thing most of the time. It's good to ask the question, is God transcendent or immanent? Is God omnipotent or personal? The answers are in some ways always yes. We might call the psalmist naive. After all, we are rational thinking Christians. The idea that all these things are possible, that God knew what was happening before the earth was formed, that somehow we were predetermined and preordained and known, is a theological question with great weight. I was thinking all this week and last week about the psalm, and it made me think of a person. Now, I know this is incredible timing, but it made me think of Tim Tebow. It really made me think of Tim Tebow. You know, a lot has been made of his faith. A lot has been made fun of his faith. I have been one of the people who have snickered a little. But he is young and committed to his faith, unwavering. He has this kind of trust and vulnerability the psalmist had. And so many people around him are drawn to him because he has this unbelievable committed faith. And I have to wonder, why is that? You have known me and searched me. You formed me. You know what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I think of Tim Tebow, I don't think of somebody who is childish, but somebody who is childlike. Somebody whose faith is childlike. He feels he has a greater purpose in the world and that God has set him on a path. And I honestly pray that he never, ever loses that. Now, I will say that he may struggle over the years, and I hope he calls me. Because I think we could have a really good conversation, but he's not ready for me yet. He's going to struggle. He certainly struggled last night. Of course, there was no offensive line and many other things. But I'm betting at the end of that game, he didn't blame God, that he still felt known and loved by God. The progressive church, the people who we are as a body, have so much to offer the world and the church that has been missing for hundreds of years. There's no question that there are things that happen here that don't happen in a lot of churches. And for that, I am thankful to you and to God. But we can also look around and experience, along with the psalmist, that experience of the intimate God. Our response sometimes to such intimacy, to such vulnerability, brings joking. Or as Pastor Carey says, snarking. We snark. Because we're so above it. Because we think up here. Because this is where our faith resides, and it sometimes floats up there. And I know from personal experience, it gets stuck up there. The dilemma of intimacy with God is a profoundly spiritual one. And I think it's two-pronged. I think the first dilemma for some of us is simply the theology of the all-knowing, all-powerful God. If you read my thesis, which I don't recommend you do, but if you ever get really bored and can't fall asleep, that's what it's about. I struggle. And the psalmist claims a predestined future. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Oh, dear God, let that not be true. Because what does that mean? I struggle if God knows that I'm going to say some of the things I'm going to say, especially when we're not together. We've struggled over the years about what freedom to choose means in the Christian faith and how God acts and intercedes in the world. We should struggle with that always. But then that brings up this second dilemma, this other prong of the fork, and that is the intimate God that knows our rising and our falling, our waking and our sleeping. A God that knows and cares about every breath we take and every thought we have. The dilemma of intimacy is ours, brothers and sisters. The Psalms are full of songs about personal, intimate, and sometimes troubling experiences, knitting together the complex threads of God's nature. But we should also remember always the Psalms were Jesus' prayers, ancient prayers of his people. And Jesus must have had many of the feelings and thoughts about God and God's nature that the psalmist has. What does it mean, powerful God? What does it mean to be known? How could he have ministered if he didn't have those same feelings? To be able to sacrifice his safety, his very life, would have required a very intimate and personal relationship with God, with a God that knew him by name. He had to have felt that he was known. I wonder if when sometimes the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, he recited the Psalms to them. When we pray the Psalter, we are tapping into our personal communion with Christ using his prayer book, the prayer book of the Bible. Christ has taught us that being in an intimate personal relationship with God is central to our life of faith. And he did not have the dilemma of intimacy. but trusted a loving and gracious God to be present with him always, 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 always.